This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date, you're away from the radio, you can always listen live anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. You can also listen on demand. You can use the rewind feature. You can also check out all the podcasts and more right there on the Odyssey app. So go download that today. Free to download, free to listen. George Ruggiero is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, of course, the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis area. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling, the host of Writer Than Right Trivia tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. on the Jeff Calkins Show. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings. How are you, Jeffrey? It's another Wednesday where it's raining and the Grizz have the Lakers tonight.
There's definitely a Groundhog Day element. Also, remind everybody, tomorrow, in addition to the fabulous prizes, of course, you'll still be playing for 901 Wrestling tickets to the final show of the 2024 calendar. That will be on November the 24th. There will be a show right to start at the year, but the last Sunday show of 2024 at Minglewood Hall, so that's November 24th. We've also got Coffee Expo tickets to give away, right?
That's right. The Grind City Coffee Expo is this week, and I'm a big fan of coffee. Jeffrey, and this is the biggest coffee event of the year here in the Memphis area, highlighting the coffee culture. So even if you're just somebody who's like me, who you have to have your morning coffee and your afternoon coffee, and you like to try local coffee, I drink my coffee black. What about you, Jeffrey?
I go back and forth. I've been trying to quit it because I get so jittery. When I do now, I'm usually using whatever's left of Josephine's milk. So I'll grab some of the milk. I've at least weaned myself off half and half, and then I usually will probably throw a little sugar in there. I have at times gone full diesel, just going straight black. But then when I quit and ease myself back into it, I'm sure it's a lot better this way. Just go ahead and just add some cream and sugar in there. That'll make the experience a lot better.
So the Grind City Coffee Expo is happening at Crosstown this year on Saturday. We'll have tickets to give away tomorrow if you go to grindcitycoffee.com. It's been happening now for a few years. The proceeds benefit Protect our Aquifer, which is also a very important cause for me. It should be a very important cause to anybody in Shelby County. We got to protect that aquifer and keep
having it. We've got to protect institutions, man.
We've got to. The proceeds are going to that. That water is very important to making some great coffee. But you get coffee samples. It's a fun event. You get coffee samples. There's panels, Jeffrey. And once again, I'm in charge of the Ask a Barista panel.
Ooh.
Where you can, I'll be asking questions that you've always wanted to ask a barista. And you're also there. If you're there, you can ask a question. You can submit a question. You can raise your hand, ask a barista. If you've ever had
have you been a barista?
I have not.
My fraternity big brother was one, because I remember one time I went to go visit him in Seattle, and he had an espresso machine, and like, he did the Starbucks, like, he took the foam.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And he put the design in it, and he actually, wrote my initials. Like, that was a little much. That was showing off.
They have a cupping panel, so if you want to learn how to do some stuff like that, you can. Cooking with Coffee is a new panel this year, which is very interesting. They're going to do there's a baking panel, baking with coffee, barbecue. Barbecue from Alan Cooper Young's coming to tell you how to do barbecue with it, and beer with coffee, which we know is
coffee stouts.
It's been a great pairing. Grind City Brewing will be out appropriately because it's Grind City Coffee. Anyway, tickets, grindcitycoffee.com. Come out and join us. I'll be out there. And I'm asking questions to baristas. It's a fun panel happening Saturday. Lots of coffee samples.
We'll also have Grizzlies tickets to give away. That will come from Cindy a little bit later, but we'll definitely have the 901 wrestling tickets. We'll have the Coffee Expo tickets, and then we'll at least have two more additional tickets to give away as well.
We're getting close to that 901 wrestling show. 901wrestling.com is where you can get tickets to that. But that show is coming up, as you mentioned, the last show of the year. Not the last one. 901 wrestling is sticking around.
Correct.
And the tickets we'll give away tomorrow will be for the November 24th show. But next week here on the show, we will have, because it's the Wednesday before show, so we've got to have a visit from some 901 wrestling stars, and they'll be coming in studio next Wednesday.
So we'll be looking forward to that. We will start here in just a moment discussing the news of the day. We learned, I believe, late last night on Twitter that 901 FC, their rights had been sold to essentially become a franchise in Santa Barbara. When you're kind of at this like independent level soccer where it's professional, but it's not part of a major organization, so it gets a little murky, but essentially the rights to the franchise were sold and they will now be moving to Santa Barbara. We then got a statement today from the Memphis Redbirds that they are unhappy about their stadium situation. We'll get into all of that. Also, Penny Hardaway has mentioned that perhaps maybe the roster is not done. That is definitely the day and age that we're in Sarita. It's like, you know what? It's like now we're just waiting on, I feel like that's going to be like, we're waiting for transfers at semester. I feel like the only time you used to wait for that was if someone was going to enroll early for spring football. But now, no, somebody might be on your team that wasn't on your team coming semester. Of course, we had Naquan Tomlin last year with that, a little bit different set of circumstances, but want to discuss that. We got the CFP rankings part two last night. I think there were a few interesting things.
Definitely.
What I took away from it, though, is the SEC is going to be a mess. I know there's some that are out there thinking that the rankings suggest that the SEC is not getting treated favorably. I think what is happening is, A, you can never discount, it's made for television, but B, they're still going to get credit for playing each other, and there's some sorting out. So we want to discuss what we found interesting from that. Of course, Grizzlies, Lakers tonight, pregame 8:30 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip-off at 7 Pacific, but that will be 9 Central. You can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Not a cup game. We had cup games last night, but the Grizzlies' first cup game will be on Friday when they take on the scorching hot Warriors. We'll get into the list. A few other things that I wanted to get to, including, I want to discuss this Diego Pavia lawsuit because I think it's fascinating. He does not get the injunction today, but there's still parts of this that I find interesting that could impact the entire world of college athletics. I want to discuss that. Then CJ Hurt's going to join the program right around 3:30. We always love having CJ on. We'll talk, of course, Grizzlies, Lakers with him, get his thoughts on what's going on. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. So I suppose, would you like to start chronologically and therefore start with 901 FC, or would you rather just jump straight to the Redbirds aspect of this?
The story of the day is that Memphis is losing the soccer team, right? I mean, that is the story. So we'll start there.
It's certainly
there,
the headline. It's something actually happening.
That's the thing. But yeah, I do feel like this Redbirds statement is unlike anything that we've seen. So it's Jeffrey Wright and company. I'll go whichever way you want to go because I think, a lot to say about both.
I think you're right. Let's start with what we know is actual hard news. So Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal has written this. Memphis 901 FC has played its last game. the USL Championship franchise will transfer its franchise rights to a new team in Santa Barbara, California, effective immediately, the USL announced on Wednesday morning. It means that 901 FC will not play in 2025. The statement from the USL Deputy Executive Officer and Chief Real Estate Officer, wow, that's quite the slash. After evaluating multiple potential stadium options, unfortunately, the path to finding a permanent home for Memphis 901 FC did not materialize. A stadium is a cornerstone of the club's long-term stability and growth. In the USL Championship, clubs like Louisville City FC and Colorado Springs Switchback FC, that feels like a mouthful, have shown how investing in soccer-specific venues creates lifelong fan connections and contributes meaningfully to the local economy. These stadiums are essential to our vision for professional soccer, creating spaces where clubs integrate deeply with their communities, fostering local pride, and positively impacting the region. Santa Barbara Sky FC will begin play in 2026. 901 FC, of course, played their home games at AutoZone Park, a baseball stadium that serves as the home field for the Redbirds. More on that in a moment. But there wasn't a long-term solution, and 901 FC officials have been trying to find a long-term solution since the team debuted 5 years ago. Okay, so there's a few things that I want to point out, and this is the biggest question that I have. At what point was it known that for this franchise to continue, at what point was it known there was going to be the stadium requirement? Because as I remember it, and I've gone back and double-checked, when the team was announced, the idea of playing at AutoZone Park was celebrated. There were even statements from the league that read, essentially, while some baseball stadiums it doesn't work, this is a great venue. Downtown, all this. So then we get into at least a couple years down the line. I remember because Mark pointed it out one day, the league was adding the provision that was going to require a soccer-specific stadium, which is fine. Like, if you're trying to build a soccer league, I understand that. Like, in the end, it's not that long ago that we were playing NFL games on infield dirt. I mean, the Raiders were doing it as...
But again, that's the NFL, too, though you think about it, right? This is the NFL demanding that you play in a football stadium.
Correct.
But yeah, no, not long ago at all you were watching those football games.
I mean, what, the Raiders moved to Vegas in what? I want to say that was it pre-pandemic? I think maybe the pandemic was there. I think that's right. The pandemic was their first year. So the 2020 season was their first year, and they didn't really do the grand opening. So as few as 5 years ago, you would still play a football game on infield dirt. So I understand a league wanting this. With that being said, if this was known all along, I'm of the opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong, this should never have happened. Because I understand wanting to be ambitious and wanting to build the stadium and whatnot, but when you knew what was coming down the pike, which was, at the very bare minimum, FedEx Forum was going to have to go through the type of renovation that was essentially going to cost probably double of what the original arena cost. And then you also knew that there was going to be some type of plan for something to, at the time, the Liberty Bowl, now Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I said this in real time, this is not second guessing, but I remember even when the soccer stadium was included, along with the updates to AutoZone Park, when you saw the math and you saw the numbers and how much money they were getting for the state, I was like, this is not going to happen. Like, this is where we are. So if this stadium requirement, even though it wasn't publicly stated at the time, but it was known, this should never have happened.
And that's fair. I think but the thing is, of how did they get here, right? It wasn't necessarily my understanding that the city was searching and trying to get a soccer team to come. That it was
it was presented.
I'm not sure, and I could be wrong about it, but my understanding was it was the Redbirds looking to fill up some dates here at AutoZone Park. Like, what can we do?
In fact, that was one of the selling points. Like, that was actually, because Mark had even mentioned this, he's like, at the time of the announcement, one of the key selling points was there's just not enough dates. You know, we've got to fill up AutoZone Park with more events and more things. And so it was almost viewed as like this was an opportunity to, you know, revitalize AutoZone Park.
And from what it looked like, it's a lot of shared ownership and leadership between the Redbirds and 901 FC, right?
I think the same group owns them.
Right. And so they are not necessarily even soccer people, right? These are people who...
They are minor... They basically have a portfolio of minor league teams.
Hey, don't be saying that to John Barlas. This is 901 FC, not a minor league team, is what I learned on Twitter today. The 901 FC effect... Not minor league. We can't call it minor league, even though the perception of the team from the average Joe in Memphis is that it's a minor league team. Well, but
correct,
but technically not a minor league team according to the soccer people.
So it's complicated. I guess the way that I would say is John, by the letter of the law, John is correct. With that being said, it is not major league soccer, and it would be like saying this isn't minor league. To a certain degree, perception is reality. This is not the MLS.
No, to the degree, yeah, it's not the MLS.
So this would be like the best comp I can give everyone is
they're not in the video game, Jeffrey. Like if you're not major league, if you're not in the video game, you can't play 901 FC on FIFA.
Is it closer to like International League baseball?
I would say it's closer to the sense of like if you think about it in the terms of European soccer, you have different leagues of different levels. But in America, it's really difficult because Major League Soccer, while better than it's been, is still lagging way behind the best leagues in the world. So the way that I would view it is MLS is the Big 12. Football. We'll use football, not basketball, because obviously they have a claim to the best basketball league.
So the Southern United States.
Let's whereas the USL is like the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like yeah, it's not. Like,
there's also no relegation or you,
there's right. No there's not. You're not part of the system. But then you also had this weird element where some MLS teams would have a second team that would kind of they would stash players or they would kind of use it as a development. But it's not in the sense of it's not run by Major League Soccer. It's independent of that. So there was a confusing.
It's not technically AAA. It's not minor league in the way that, like baseball does their minor league or the Hustle is minor league.
And it's a little bit better than like, so if you use George's example of independent baseball is more times than not like, do you just really want to pay your way to keep playing baseball? And there's that element. Some guys have had success bouncing out of it, whatnot, but more times than not, it's like, guys that had a career went there to kind of get some reps and then someone gave them another chance. But it's not like there's a system in place to get you from independent baseball back into Major League Baseball. Where George is correct is it's the same thing with the USL. Like people scout it and you can have guys that wind up moving on to other leagues playing from it. But it is run independent of Major League Soccer. But at the same time, to act as if this is... A true like the perception is it's a minor league sporting event, and it is
because it's not the best of the best. It's not the best of the best. It's not the best soccer in America. Is not coming downtown Memphis and playing soccer. They were not. They weren't. It wasn't the best of the best. It was some great games, great atmosphere, and it was great for soccer fans that there was something happening. But when you're in a major league town. Now, like we are, we're having the Memphis Grizzlies here, being an NBA city, it kind of you circle it back here even for the Tigers when you make that college football analogy. But like, because I mean, the city is just tired of watching. You know, they want to see the best of the best play these sports. But I don't. So they didn't consult us before the team came. But it would be a debate. Like, do you think Memphis will latch onto a soccer team and it be successful enough to build a stadium? If they were in that
right, and that to me was always going to be really far fetched because, like, I tip my cap to them when the whole stadium debate was going on, they actually released some renderings, but they acted like the stadium that they were releasing was at first they said, well, it's only 50 million. Well, then it went up to 80 million. I just know as someone who is obsessed with stadiums and how much the cost of the thing, like what these things cost to build. What they presented was well over $100 million.
Oh, for sure. And that's should that. So I guess, you know, the question is, should Memphis, you know, should Memphis have allocated the money for 901 FC games, which max out around 3,000 fans these days? Is that at all? Would it have been worth it? To me, it makes no sense. We have this allocated money. I would not have.
Is there anyone that, other than like a diehard soccer fan that just wants to see, I want to see a team, but I don't know any possible business explanation that says this is a good idea. Now, where I do think a few things are legitimately up for debate, should we be paying more attention to how the city has been spending money? Because a couple of things come to mind. Number one, we redid the convention center. And I understand a pandemic happens and there were other challenges that weren't really the fault of those that paid to redo the convention center. But so far, that is not going to return an investment.
Right.
Number two, we couldn't even get the hotel built with it. So therefore, we have to buy the Sheraton, which is in a terrible state, and all of a sudden now you're on the hook for owning that. Okay? Now we get into the position where...
But in that spot, like, all that money, you could at least be... I could be sold on the potential ceiling of that, right?
That would at
least...
If you're
pitching that to me, you could say, oh, okay, a convention center, we've got a ceiling of... I can see the economic boom there.
Correct. And I think there was also whether
and whether or not it's happening or not is the question. That I see the vision.
That business plan makes more sense.
Because the soccer stadium still, they were talking about building it next to the Simmons Bank stadium there at the fairgrounds is where they
So that was where they always kept talking about it. And then I kept wondering when they built the youth event center.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I don't remember the name.
The youth complex
that's right there. Did that take away that piece of...
No, because they were going to tear down the Coliseum and put it in the spot of the Coliseum.
Oh, I'm sure that was going to be a smooth process. Literally, there hasn't been an event in there in what? What was the last event in the Coliseum? We have to be on 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's been quite some time since the last time something happened inside. But they were going to tear down the Coliseum and put it there. But I mean, that's a whole nother debate. Like they weren't going to get the money. But if the plan from these people who run and own the Redbirds, who brought the soccer team to town, was to play there for a little bit and then get the city to build them a stadium, when, as you said, the timing could not be worse. Like, every stadium needs an upgrade in the city.
Correct.
To support a team that gets about 3,000 fans a week. Of course, I mean, maybe they were projecting it to.
I will say, that franchise, in my opinion, was the most devastated by COVID, because they actually had some momentum. It was becoming a thing to do. They had several games where they would get 7,500 people, and it was becoming something to do, and it was cool. The pandemic absolutely killed all momentum, and what we have seen across the board is throughout the United States of America, getting attendance at minor league sports, apologies, John, it has been a tough ask. The AAA baseball used to have the independent, whatever. You had the PCL, which what we played in was the ICL. What was the other one where Louisville was in? But like they consolidated into
the Pacific Coast League was all the one.
And the International League. I think it was the International League. That all consolidated into one league. Half the teams went away, and so, like, we're seeing this across the board.
Sure, yeah, and it's COVID definitely, and I will say, yes, COVID changed everybody and everything, but how you reacted to it and tried to pivot from that is also important. Now,
sure.
And I mean, to go back to all the things I'm involved, I host trivia and bingo every night. Every restaurant closed, and I had to figure out something new. And had to build my way back up and do different things. And 901 Wrestling, for instance, like Rec Room was where we used to do the wrestling shows. It didn't open back up, right? It didn't survive COVID. So I had to find somewhere else. Black Lodge closed recently, and now we're at Minglewood Hall. So sometimes you just kind of have to take some. When something happens, it is how you react to it. I don't think COVID made people not want to be soccer fans who were going to be soccer fans. I think it probably just had a a quicker result, maybe. But well, if the league is hanging over you, telling you have to build the stadium, that's nonsensical to me, as you pointed out, because the NFL very recently had games in baseball,
multi-purpose facilities is what they were called.
That if you're not the best of the best soccer league and you're demanding your teams play in soccer stadiums, like, that should be your long-term goal. It's great to have it on your, you know, plans, but to be forcing them now and then giving no chance for a market to build that fan base that could fill those, like, I think that's stupid from that perspective. If that's really the reason they're leaving is because they're telling us we need to build one, it's like, who are you as a soccer organization? That's what I'm asking. And I don't, that's a real question. I don't know what the name of the organization is.
Well, they have a guy, they have a guy that's the director of, what was it, real estate and, hold on.
But
that was
slash. I don't think I need to know the team is leaving town.
The deputy CEO and chief real estate officer. I don't think I've seen that slash.
We get so used to it in sports, Jeffrey, about the stadium debate and teams leaving, right? But that is for the best of the best leagues. You've got to be major league. You've got to be, if it's the MLS team saying you got to have one before, we're not going to come to town if you're not going to build one. There should be a plan. Like, they should never have been here. You can't build your fan base. You can't come hang around. A problem with this league is if they're going to come and leave because somebody didn't build a stadium.
I mean, the Grizzlies weren't coming here until
they knew FedEx Forum was going to get
built. Correct.
It wasn't like, we're going to come to the pyramid and
right.
give you a few years. All right, you all need to build
About that arena. No, like, that was part of it. And that's the biggest reason that the Grizzlies were able to come here over Louisville and other sites was the fact that FedEx Forum was going to happen.
And that's what goes back to, and I would have to go back and look at these stories of when the announcement was made back in 2018 or whenever the soccer team was coming, that, like, it seemed like it was a move from the Redbirds to fill dates. And I say Redbirds, you know, loosely, the people who were running things, they want to fill dates there at AutoZone Park. And they're also looking at trends, right?
Sure.
Like, they could have opened a food truck, or they could have opened a brewery. Like, what are the trends going on in America right now? Well, soccer fandom was a trend, and it still is. It's still trending upwards. More people are becoming soccer fans. So did they look at this like, oh, soccer franchises are popular with the younger generation, and they're starting to have children, and they're going to come to games. So were they just looking at that trend? Because these were not soccer people. The Redbirds people are not soccer people.
No.
And they invest, and they, if you have pointed out with, and so they brought a soccer team to town, not really necessarily knowing how to make it connect versus it's just a trend. That's like they opened up a food truck without knowing how to cook, or they opened up a brewery without knowing how to make beer. They just knew that it was something that was popular.
They looked at some numbers and like, well, this is popular. Let's do this.
And it was, right, you said it was an exciting new thing for a minute.
Yes, and clearly the pandemic impacted that. So now that gets to the other part of the pandemic. And this goes back to something you and I talked about a few weeks ago, which is the whole downtown question. And,
can we just, I guess, when we get into this downtown, because I do think there's like a list of things.
Well, I was going to, I bring up downtown because part of this is also the Redbird side of it.
Part of the Redbird side.
And so I believe this to be the case. Visiting teams this year would not stay downtown.
Oh, really?
They would stay somewhere else and bus in for safety concerns. So you have
this segment is full of, I believe so. It's my understanding.
Yeah, I'm having to use, therapy words. Like, I think I know, I believe.
Pretty sure. This is what we have heard.
Correct. And
so some of this stuff not necessarily confirmed. What is confirmed is 901 FC is leaving, and they're saying it's because of the stadium. But, well, I'm just saying, like, who is it to blame? Are we blame, like, who's to blame for this? Is it the league for requiring the stadium?
The more I look into it, the more I say it's the league. In the end, if the league came here with duplicitous,
but
there's being a revisionist history saying, well, they knew this all along, they were going to have the stadium. Well, if that's the case, it should never have come here.
But I guess if you want to say, then
that's a reasonable place to point the finger.
But
I'll say this. There's a lot that the city council, the city does that I don't agree with. This one, I'm not going to sit there and go, how'd you do it?
What would you think? But you were talking about downtown, because there's also things that people, the stadium is obviously the reason they're using us, the reason they're leaving, which I believe it. I believe that. It's stupid.
I think it's unrealistic, but listen, maybe the chief real estate officer found out he cut a deal with Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara's going to build a beautiful stadium.
Right.
Good luck building in California, especially on the coast, but congratulations.
And you mentioned, so the stadium, obviously COVID didn't help things. It did not help because they did have momentum. So many of us did back there in early 2020. Being in downtown, you know, keeps going back to that question. If this was at, people always bring up Mike Rose, which is not big enough to accommodate this, could probably be upgraded to accommodate some 901.
And there's land and stuff, but then that becomes the question of who pays for that?
Right. So like at the current state, they couldn't just go out there and play. You wouldn't get the experience that you're looking for. So but the downtown issue does kind of tie into. I know we want to jump in because that's the big story. What we learned today is the 901 FC, right?
Yes.
901 FC leaving, going to California.
And then we get the statement from the Redbirds.
We have a statement from the Redbirds, which I would love to hear it again.
Since AutoZone Park was not allocated any of the state funding made available last year, the city has deployed approximately $5 million in funds to bring the city-owned facility into compliance with MLB standards before next year's PDL, which is the player development license deadline. However, we have communicated to the city that there is still a long list of vital needs that need to be addressed in order for AutoZone Park to maintain a AAA club, including new seating, painting, bathroom renovations, and concrete repair, among others. These items must be addressed seriously and swiftly to safeguard the long-term future of AutoZone Park as the proud home of the Redbirds and a premier destination for events in the city. Right. The last line is clearly a threat. I was trying to see if I also had the... let's see...
Here comes the part. So you've got what you said, the destination for events in the city. Is that where you ended it? That was not the very end of it.
No, I'm trying to
find the part that's the threat because it's coming.
Correct.
From what we got so far, I like how they're just trying to spell out things that they need.
Yeah, at least they're itemizing.
But at the same time, I don't know if that's going to get anybody else to go to more games.
Okay.
Because they say they need new seats, painting, bathroom renovations.
All right, here we go.
The concrete repairs are a necessity. So, yes, let's try to get them. Let's get those done. But, yeah, the final part of this statement, because they were mourning the loss of 901 FC, expressing their concerns that they need stuff. This is what we need. And then they end it with this.
We look forward to continuing this critical work with the city of Memphis to ensure our ability to proudly open our doors to fans for many years to come and hope that losing soccer serves as a sobering reminder that having the highest level of professional minor league baseball, that feels like jumbo shrimp, in downtown Memphis is a privilege. One more time. That having the highest level of professional minor league baseball in downtown Memphis is a privilege. That is clearly the threat. Now, this is where I think this whole situation gets complicated. And
because it's a statement from the organization. Right?
Correct.
There's no name attached.
So, this is, I think, somewhat of a new phenomenon. I was on the phone with Mark in between shows trying to say, is this a new phenomenon or is this something that as I get older, I'm more aware of it? But I think it's true to say this. Stadiums, ownership groups, stadiums, all of this is getting negotiated in a public forum,
right?
Much more so than ever before. Like sometimes it'd be, okay, something at the 11th hour would come up. It's like you're up against the deadline, and then somebody would hold your feet to the fire. Well, now, I mean, we see this. The University of Memphis, they got what they wanted out of it, but they made it a very public fight about the renovations to the Liberty Bowl versus renovations to the FedEx Forum. By making it so public, they ended up getting what they wanted, which was getting the money and getting it early. And I would make the argument, it wasn't what was best for everybody, but it was what's best for the university, and the people that made that decision work for the university, not for everybody. So that's their stakeholder. But this is a very complicated measure for me because I view AutoZone Park differently than I view the quote-unquote Redbirds. And I understand they kind of go hand in hand, but what I would mean by that is I think AutoZone Park is more of a symbol of something that should be protected, because at a time when nothing was downtown, at a time when the joke was Memphis being Memphis, we built that park and we built it well. And I don't think without that park, we end up being able to put enough things in motion to get the Grizzlies here. I think that had to work first before you could get the Grizzlies and get FedEx Forum downtown. So there's an element for me of, I think that stadium needs to be protected. I have zero attachment to a private equity firm that owns the minor league baseball team of my hometown. And this is where I really struggle. I'm sitting here and I'm watching, even though they'll say there's enough distance in between, it's a portfolio that's backed by a private equity firm, more so than just the private equity firm.
Right.
That's a semantics argument. How much money they put into this bad boy? Because here's what I've watched them do all across the country with minor league sports. They do exactly what they did with the Redbirds. They cut the staff, they cut everything, and they milk it for whatever they can, and then they'll either eventually sell it off or they'll close it down. See the Jackson Braves.
The Mississippi Braves.
Yeah, like Mississippi Braves.
The only like pro team in the state,
yes.
Right? They might have one on the coast. But
I guess they have the Hustle.
You have the Hustle, yeah. Shout out to the Hustle. It's very sad. It's a very sad time there in the middle of Mississippi not having their team. I feel like, though, if the Redbirds left, Memphis would be able to find somebody. And this is a question for you, Jeff, or you're more of a baseball person, but like if the Redbirds are struggling as much as it seems to be on paper, would it matter if it was a Double-A team or not that was playing? How much does it matter that it's associated with the Cardinals or not at this point? Do we just need a minor league team to get the food and the atmosphere, or is it the Redbirds that are completely, because they're threatening to leave? What this says. It says is a privilege. I do not appreciate any sports fan or any media or anybody telling me that it is a privilege to consume your product. That to me is as highfalutin.
Well, especially when their product,
disrespectful.
Especially when their product has deteriorated at the rate that it has. Thanks be to the private equity aspect of it.
No, you're right. I mean, there's the kids' games aren't there when you go out. Like what, you know, like you've got
things that used to be
spend a little bit money yourself to get other people to want to come and spend some money.
And so this is where I would actually say, where are you going to go? Because one thing is,
pack up and go to Jackson, Mississippi.
I mean, I guess the RMB in the end of 2026, and I'm not saying that like in this sense. What I'm saying is the climate is very different than when once upon a time the Chicks went to Jackson. It's not like everybody's breaking down doors trying to sit there and go, we're trying to get a minor league baseball team. Minor league baseball is not in a healthy spot in terms
right.
of
no, you're right. No, I agree with
organizations.
You. It feels like there should be a consolidation, you know, of that.
Slowly been doing it. But then I guess the argument would be if the development license is with the Cardinals, all of a sudden it's like, okay, because there's a certain level of the Cardinals like having their AAA program being close enough to where, all right, if we got to pull somebody up the night before, it's logistically possible. Like they enjoy that. So now if you're trying to maintain your relationship with the Cardinals, you've got to go find a spot that's willing to host them, that has a stadium that meets your highfalutin demands, and good luck with that. With that being said, I do think it's very obvious when you go to AutoZone Park that stuff needs to be done. And I believe stuff needs to be done because I think I think it is a symbol that it should be important to the city.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a debate of what does that building deserve versus what should we prioritize, and that as a community. And over the past year, it's been over a year now, we've been talking about these stadium upgrades and where the money should go. And upgrading FedEx Forum, number one priority. Everybody agrees. The Grizzlies are the most important.
Well, the University of Memphis did.
And then they didn't. Yeah, that's true. But then also the University of Memphis is next because they are going to be here. And it's long term because not only like is there a question, how long could the Redbirds leave? It's possible. What's the long term future of minor league baseball? Is a thing to consider in this. I mean, you brought it to my attention just now because, I mean, I've thought about it before. But if you really think about how you're going to spend your money and prioritize your money, are you going to prioritize on something that could very well be changing drastically down the line? On how this operates, because it's all connected to the pros, and so they got to figure out, you know, are they consolidating to have much fewer teams across the board, and then only going to be in markets that don't have anything else, so it's a bigger draw. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, the other question is, so Sam Hardiman was on with Jeff earlier today as well, and Sam made the point that the city is also tagging money now. What I'm curious is that the $5 million that they're talking about, or is it additional money? And I mean, this is another thing that no one wants to say out loud, but I'll be the guy. The city's also going to have to stock away about $30 million for the Nichols family to pay out the lawsuits that are assuredly coming or have already started, whatnot. Like they're going to have to set aside that. So we're now running into... they're already having to dip into the piggy bank, the rainy day fund, to pay so much. So it's like, is the $5 million what they had socked away for AutoZone Park, or is it more? Because my guess is what they would say is the $5 million was largely going to go to new lights, I think repair of the video board, maybe some, I think it was batting cages, but maybe like some field issues. But it seems to be what they want to talk about is the actual stadium itself.
And so
is that a $10 million price tag? Is that a $20 million price tag? I know when they did the last real renovation, I think it was 15, maybe 13, and that was applauded, but obviously those numbers don't apply anymore.
And this statement, again, before the threat comes at the end, I mean, they mentioned specifically a deadline next year for the PDL, it's the PDL deadline.
Essentially, that's the right, like, it's the right to be the Cardinals AAA team. It's like your right to be a official minor league AAA team.
So that's okay. So
that's the license. So basically, what they're saying is
so that deadline. They're
we're
saying
good
one
for
more
next
year.
Year.
They're saying one more.
They're
year
saying like we're good for next year, but beyond that, we're not. So we have the Battle of the Birds coming up. All right.
Yeah.
Fun times. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the college football playoff rankings. We'll also get into Grizzlies during hour number two. Stick around, listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 99.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NFM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers' annual Black Friday event is going on now, and you can buy gifts that give gifts. With every purchase of $299 or more, you can get a free gift. A 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings in 10 karat white gold for $549 gets you a free JBL pair of noise-canceling headphones. You can also get the Flexi Diamond Bangle Bracelets, always a hot seller. If you spend $9.99 or more, you can get a free Nintendo Switch. The Robert Irwin Jewelers Black Friday event is also the perfect time to buy your engagement ring, because if you spend $49.99 or more, you will get a free 85-inch smart TV. Also, make sure if you're going to get your diamond engagement ring over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can do the custom option. That's what I did. All you need is something as simple as a picture, a drawing, a concept, and Robert Irwin Jewelers can help you make that thing come to life. You'll also do so with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means when you buy your loose diamond custom-made engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, you'll have 365 days to return it, no questions asked. Also, they have free ring sizing for life, the diamond trade-up, as well as the free jewelry spa service for life. Take your jewelry in there. It comes out looking like it was the day that you bought it. The Black Friday sale is going on now, so make sure you see the store for details while supplies last. There's free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. We did get our second of the college football playoff rankings, and I guess we had a little bit of a few things of interest. Number one, Oregon, 2, Ohio State, Texas moves up to 3, Penn State to 4, Indiana to 5, BYU moves up to 6, Tennessee to 7, Notre Dame to 8, Miami drops to 9, Alabama moves up to 10, Ole Miss moves 5 spots, and they stay ahead of Georgia, so they are at 11. Georgia, despite being the 12th ranked team, is the first out. And that means Boise State, who is ranked 13th now, they dropped a spot. They are the final team. So when you looked at the bracket, of course, the big thing was the Big Ten got four of the top five spots. However, we still know we have Ohio State to play Indiana next week, and then presumably two of those teams will play each other again in the Big Ten championship game. But I think the thing that most people were focusing on was that it didn't look like the SEC was getting a lot of respect. Now, I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, I think what they're also clearly setting up is, hey, this felt like the most mailed in of all mailed in rankings. Like, when you compare it to the AP Top 25, it was very, very similar. So I didn't know really how seriously to take it. But also, the SEC has multiple opportunities for teams to play each other and move up again, picking up those quality wins. But I do think what is interesting is you're setting up this Tennessee-Georgia-Ole Miss conundrum. Because right now, Ole Miss, after the win of Georgia, moves up to 11. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you can look at it and say, well, that's good because they are giving credit to the head-to-head. What happens if Georgia knocks off number 5 Tennessee, or I guess number 7 Tennessee this weekend? Are they going to hop right back in front of them? Because the only way that, in my opinion, they can do it is they have to justify passing not only Ole Miss, but they're also going to have to pass Alabama, who also has the head-to-head. But then you get into this giant mess that is the SEC championship picture. Also, we got news. Nico Imaliava is in concussion protocol. That is why the point spread is so big right now, because while Tennessee's saying they think he's going to be good to go, the Vegas line is telling us not.
I know it's a different circumstances than Texas playing different teams, but if it's a year ago, Texas is not in the SEC. The highest ranked SEC team is Tennessee there at number 7. That is pretty wild if you think of it in that way. I know Texas wouldn't be in the position that they're at if they were to play the SEC schedule, yada, yada, yada.
And so this is why I think it's going to end up being a non-starter. The reason why is most teams had to play each other. They got more losses. Like normally we get to this point, there's an SEC team. Like you had last year, there's this question of, has Georgia fallen off as much as it seems, or did Georgia's schedule last year make them look more dominant than they were?
Well, apparently,
I think it's a little of both, but I also think Georgia's dropped off a little bit.
Apparently they've dropped off, but not as far off as the best ranked team from the group of five in Boise State, which that to me was, that's what jumped out when I'm looking at the bracket this week, is that Boise, which is guaranteed that spot if they can win out, right? They're guaranteed the spot in the playoffs. It's the best team from a non-power conference that is a champion. You got to be a champion. But they're at 13, right? But they're going to let them in anyway, which is the way the scenario is going here and the way it looks out going forward from a Memphis Tiger perspective of what are your chances of getting in. Like the disrespect is still there, no matter the fact that Boise's 8-1.
They're still fine. I think they still have
they got to take 12.
But I think they still have the same path to a bye that they did first spot. You need BYU to lose. Because if in the scenario that they've laid out here, if BYU still wins out and Boise were to win out, BYU was going to maintain the position. So they're now in the same spot where if BYU loses, that they can sneak back in and get that last spot. But this is the other larger question now. As they continue to move BYU up in the rankings, are they setting up where if Colorado knocks off BYU, let's say BYU gets to the Big 12 title game undefeated 12-0, are they going to be punished if Colorado knocks them off and take a second spot?
Colorado can jump up there.
Colorado's path is very simple. You win out and you go to the Big 12 title game, and you win the Big 12 title game, you're a playoff team. Like, that's their thing. And I think it's the same thing for SMU. I kind of think this is what's going to happen.
I just think it's fascinating with Boise. Like, they're saying Boise, hey, you're not technically the best team, but we got to take you now because of the stipulation. So, like, they're in the playoffs, but they're team 13, which means whoever's in that 12 spot, they're more than likely going to jump up, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because we know at least they're going to move presumably one spot because Georgia and Tennessee play this week.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going to settle that idea that you're taking a team to the playoffs that's not even
outside of
the top 12.
Correct. I also think it was formatted knowing, all right, the G5 champion could be outside of the top 12. But this is the other thing. We still haven't gotten into Greg Sankey politicking season. The only thing that I do think is a little, I would be curious to have them show their work. I think that they're not going to say this, but I think this is true. They are ranking Texas as the highest SEC team, not based on resume, but they are ranking them as such because they lead the SEC.
Right.
And
they're going to make it. They got a path to the championship game, right?
Correct. And so I actually think if Tennessee were to win this weekend, what I think you would see is Tennessee passing Texas and Tennessee being the highest ranked team.
I think that's fair. I think that Texas's schedule, when you go back and look at it, and we didn't spend this much time, but they ended up being one of the easier schedules.
Glad that you mentioned it, Kevin.
From these top teams.
Do you know of these 16 SEC teams, according to ESPN's FPI?
Of all 16 teams,
do you know where Texas's strength of schedule is based on who they've played so far?
You keep stressing the all 16, so is it 16?
It is 16.
They've got the easiest of all schedules in the SEC. Wow.
Now, the next closest is Tennessee at 35.
Oh, so... Well, there you go. So strength of schedule matters,
strength
right?
Strength of schedule does matter.
Who you play, it matters. Wow. Yeah, so, of course, Tennessee, that is going to change a little bit after. This is their, of totality, the schedule?
Of who you've played so far.
Oh, you played so far. Okay.
So Georgia's at 1, Florida is at 2, Mississippi State is at 3, Oklahoma's at 4, LSU is 6, Kentucky 7, South Carolina 8, Vanderbilt is 10th. These are national numbers. Alabama's 11. A&M, 21, Ole Miss, 23, Arkansas, 25, Missouri, 27, Auburn, 32, Tennessee, 35, Texas, 56.
I just want to take a moment, and I love college football, Jeffrey, you love college football, everybody listening, most everybody listening loves college football, but just leave it to this sport that, like, tries to do something to move it forward and be more like other sports than deciding the champion, right? We're going to have a playoff now. Oh, we're going to expand the playoff and have more teams. But still, there's just these bizarre...
Well, we're still letting people pick the teams.
Right, they're still picking the teams.
Yeah.
Like, Boise's number 13, but technically would be in today. You've got the first round byes right now are going to a team that's ranked number 9.
Yeah.
So you're ranked 9, but you get a first round bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.